Let us pray. O God, keep our whole country under your protection. Wipe out sin from this land. Lift it up from the depths of sorrow, O Lord, a shining light. Save us from deep grief and misfortune, Lord of all nations. Bless us with your wisdom, so that the poor may not be oppressed, and the rich may not be oppressors. Make this a nation having no ruler except God, a nation having no authority but that of love. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from 2 Samuel. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time, while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah for 33 years. David built the city all around from the Millo inwards, and David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him." The Word of Life. The New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians. "I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations." The Word of God to the people of God.
Listen for the living Word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's Gospel in the 6th chapter. Jesus left the place where he was and he went back to his hometown. His disciples came with him. And on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and he began to teach them. And some of the people who heard him were astounded. And they said, "Where did this man get all this? What's this wisdom that's been given to him? He does these great deeds of power with those hands. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't that Mary's son? Aren't his brothers here? James and John and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and aren't his sisters here with us? Why?" And they took offense at him. And he could do no deeds of power except that he laid his hands on a few people and healed them. And he marveled at their unbelief. He started going around to other villages. And he called the 12 and he began to send them out two by two. And he told them not to take anything with them but a staff. No bag, no bread, no money in their belt, just wear sandals and one tunic. And he said, "When you come to a place where the household welcomes you, you stay there until you leave that place. And if you come to a place where they won't welcome you, they refuse to hear you, shake the dust from your feet as you leave them, as a testimony to them." So they went out. they proclaimed that everybody should repent, and they cast out demons, and they anointed with oil people who were sick, and they cured them. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of cool to see this story in which the disciples go out and can do all the things that Jesus did just because he says they can. But it's also sort of disconcerting to see Jesus unable to do anything. It's like he's lost his mojo. He choked in front of the home crowd or something. He can't quite do it, right? But you see, you remember this, that the power to heal isn't Jesus's. It's not his. The power is in his relationships with the people. And if they are not in the place where they want to get healed, nothing happens. And he has this problem. He comes home to his hometown to work as a healer and a teacher, and that's not who they want to let him be because they've already got him figured out. He's this kid from hometown. They already know who he is, right? He's Joseph's son. He's Mary's son. He's a carpenter. He's not a teacher and a healer. They've already got it figured out, and their preconception is so strong that that's not going to change. So they are not ready to be healed, and no healing happens because they're sitting there saying, well, yeah, but isn't he a carpenter? By the way, here's a little bit of irrelevant biblical trivia. The word in Greek is builder, that we translate carpenter. In Palestine, then and now, there ain't nothing built out of wood. They're built out of stone. So if he was a builder, he would have been a builder of houses and buildings, which means he would have been a stonemason or a bricklayer, not a carpenter. Jesus was a bricklayer, wasn't a carpenter. I know that sort of destroys your childhood picture of Jesus, right? Working with Joseph in the shop. No, he's just out on the site carrying bricks and stones around. So I know some of you are saying, that's not right. Still, isn't he a carpenter? Oh, wait a minute. That's the problem, see? When we get this preconception in our head, it's so hard to let go of it. And sometimes what happens is, even when we know better, consciously, unconsciously, our preconception just comes right back in and steals it back from us. So when Europeans were translating the Bible, they took builder, and they said, well, a builder is obviously a carpenter because they lived in houses made out of wood. They thought that was normal. Partly, this is a story about how what we think is normal gets in the way of what is real. Isn't he a carpenter? That's so strong for them that he is not a healer. Not among them. That's not his problem. It's theirs. Because they've already got this preconception of what's right and what's wrong, what's normal and what isn't. Jesus knows that. And he knows that both consciously, because something new that provides an alternative to what we're used to is something that we won't be comfortable with, but even more powerfully, unconsciously, what we think is normal will sabotage the reality right in front of us, and we will look at it and say, nope, he's a carpenter, even though that's false. Jesus knows that people will resist what he's doing because what he's doing is totally different from what the world is doing. When he's proclaiming the kingdom of God, the empire of God, that's not the kingdom of Israel. It's something different. It's not the empire of Rome. And he knows that people are going to push back against that. And so he warns his disciples when he sends them out. He says, now, there will be people who will not welcome you and who refuse to hear what you say. He knows it's coming. This weekend, we've been lighting fireworks and singing patriotic songs and having parties and eating junk food to celebrate this country. And this country deserves celebrating because it's this amazing experiment in human dignity and democracy that we've almost got right, but not quite. We're still struggling with it. And you see that every day in the news. We're still trying to work it out. And there's all these conflicts in which we're still trying to work out what we think America means. So there's these conflicts that sometimes are philosophical and sometimes they're violent, about racism, about voting rights, about marriage, about immigration, all these different issues. And it's real easy for us to move the flag into the sanctuary because it's a national holiday, so we have the flag in here and we should all wave flags without remembering that we ain't done yet. We celebrate and we repent at the same time. Because this empire of God that Jesus is preaching, not only is it not the kingdom of Israel or the Roman Empire, it also isn't America. It's not America. What they're doing out there is the American dream. What we're doing in here is the empire of God, and it's not the same thing. You know, when I think about all those conflicts going on in the news, I see this interesting pattern running through all of them. They are all the same argument. It's an argument about who's in and who's out. All that stuff about racism is basically saying being white is normal. Being black is different. And we don't want different people here. It's not just about hatred of a different race. It's about normalizing my race. This is normal. And if you're not like this, then you're not quite normal. So if you're not straight, you're not normal. If you're not white, you're not normal. If you're not middle class, successful, healthy, able to stand up, walk on light, all those definitions we have of normal, Jesus is a carpenter. That's our way of saying Jesus is a carpenter. This is the reality that we've decided. And all of those conflicts are about who's in and who's out, who's normal and who's not. Immigration, who gets to live here? Voting rights, who gets to vote? Marriage, who gets to celebrate their relationships? Who gets to feel like they're okay the way they are? Racism, who belongs? Who's safe? Who isn't? They're all about who's in and who's out. And Jesus comes along and says, literally, hold your ears, to hell with all of that. Remember the story about the sheep and the goats? And Jesus says, to hell with you people who leave people out. Everybody is in. That's why week after week, we don't go to a 4th of July picnic. We come to this table. Because at this table, everybody's in. And the world will resist that. The world won't get it. And even unconsciously, because of our preconceptions, we'll have a hard time with that. We want to receive communion from somebody that we know and trust. Well, tough. Sometimes communion comes from somebody that God chooses that you don't even know. Watch how it happens. We want to sit at the table next to people that we feel comfortable with. And Jesus says, tough. That might be the American dream, but that's not the empire of God. You want to come to my table? This is different. God is always inviting us to examine our preconceptions of what we think is normal, what we think is the way things are, and to look especially at how do those definitions get in the way of healing? How do my preconceptions sabotage the empire of God? How are the ways in which I think this is the way the world is stop the way the world is about to become from becoming? Because we have that power, just like they did in Jesus' hometown. God is working with us. But Jesus is providing for us this world that's so different that constantly we're having to ask, so what are the preconceptions that I carry around with me that are getting in my way, that are getting in God's way? And over again, we come to this place and do this thing and tell this story and relate to each other in this way that goes against all that stuff they're doing out there. Out there, they're buying and selling. In here, we're giving it away for free. Out there, they're judging. In here, we don't. Out there, there are insiders and outsiders. Here, there's no such thing. It's a different thing we're doing. And we come back here over and over again to hear those words of Jesus and to root ourselves more deeply in that, because the minute we walk through those doors, there will be pushback. And Jesus has to keep reminding us. People won't necessarily welcome that. There will be pushback. So when somebody walks into that church in South Carolina and slaughters a bunch of people, and we think, oh my gosh, how terrible. And yet the members of that church are forgiving, and we think, oh my gosh, how amazing. What happens next? So far, 8 black churches have burned. And half of them have already been confirmed arson. Black clergy women all across the South are receiving a flood of death threat letters. Pushback. Of course. Jesus says, yep, it's going to happen. Do it anyway. Because what we're doing is something different. We're not engaged in business as usual. The world does not need more status quo. The status is doing fine without us. What God wants to do is to heal the world, and that's a change. And the world isn't going to like it. But we come over and over again to this table where Jesus says, you can't change this. God includes everybody. All of them. Even you. Even me. That's good news. Will you pray with me? God of grace, we thank you for your amazing love that stumps our understanding and is beyond the reach of our figuring out. We pray for the faith to live with your blessing, with the courage that would dismantle so much in this world, and trust that you offer us a new world. It's even better. God of grace, for your amazing love, for the presence that you give us in Jesus, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.